You know, we find a lot of great leaders in the scripture. I mean, people like Moses and then Joshua and the great King David and, you know, the Apostle Paul and, of course, the Lord Jesus himself. And, you know, a lot of those leaders, their names are written in the scripture again and again and again. In fact, some of them, they, you know, they span many, many chapters of the Bible. But there's some guys that are just mentioned a few times, and yet they had a great impact. I mean, we all know about the Apostle Paul, right? But what about the guy that mentored the Apostle Paul? We don't talk much about him. His name is Barnabas, but I want to tell you that he has some great leadership qualities about himself that had a huge impact on the early church. I think a lot of us could probably relate to Barnabas. I know I can, in the sense that we're not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're not well known. We don't have that big of a sphere of influence. Barnabas was that guy. And so I think we can all relate to him. And yet the Lord still used him in a mighty way to make a big difference. So first of all, I want to tell you tonight that leadership is never about the leader. Real leadership is always about others. If we're going to be leading in any way, whether it's leading in ministry, leading your family, leading others to Christ, leading other people to a closer walk with the Lord, it's about them, not about us. You see, the world kind of gets this backwards because, you know, in the world's view, it's all about the leader. It's all about their personality and their power and who they are. But that's not biblical. No, when you look in the scripture, it's always about others. I mean, our Savior himself, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, and he sets the example for us. It's always about others. Barnabas is a great example to us because it's clear that to him, it really was all about others. And the first mention of Barnabas is found in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. It says, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Why would he do that? Because this early church, it was growing and expanding so much, but they had great needs. And so there were those who sold what they had and they shared it with everybody. And Barnabas was one of those. He just gave sacrificially to help others. You see, it was about others. He wanted to make a difference. And it, you know, the things that God had blessed him with, he used it to help others. That's a good example for us tonight. That the things that God has blessed you with, and I'm not just talking about material things here, the things that God has blessed you with, it's intended for you to help others. And I just want that to be the focus, that Barnabas wanted to help others. He didn't do it for some kind of recognition or glory. He just wanted to help others. Now, you know, immediately after Barnabas sells this property, gives the money to the church, you head straight in the very next verse in Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. It tells the story, and many of you know it, the story of a guy named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They sell some land and they pretend to give all the money to the church. They lied. I'm telling you the short version. I encourage you to go read the story later if you don't know it, because it's pretty amazing. But they lied and they died. And a lot of people think, no, God doesn't do that kind of stuff in the New Testament. Well, you need to read the story. quit making up your own imagination, your own view of who God is, and listening to the pop theology of the day. Start reading the Bible, and I'm telling you, this passage will kind of blow your mind if you're not familiar with it. But they lied and they died. But here was the thing, you see, they did it. They were wanting some kind of recognition. They were wanting to be, seen as special. This is really applicable for anybody that wants to be a leader. It's not about recognition. It's not about being seen. It's not about position, being well thought of. It's about helping others. That's what it is supposed to be about. And we got to keep that straight. A year or two ago, a man told me that he wanted to give the church some money for something we didn't have the money to do. Now, I'm not very smart about stuff like this because I have this bad habit. I just speak in truth and stuff, and it gets me in trouble sometimes. So he wanted to be able to say, I paid for that. And I know that this is a concept that is very strong in our world and even in the church world a whole lot. But I told him, I said, well, we don't really have anything like that on the agenda. And I said, and the Lord takes care of the needs of the church through the faithfulness of God's people. Right. I mean, you won't find anybody's name on anything around here where they did this or they paid for that. And they're this. It won't happen. Now, there are people that give, a lot of people that give. But I just got to tell you that it's the faithfulness of God's people. And it's not they're not going to be somebody, ooh, look what so-and-so did. It's not about that. Because it's always about others. In this world, sometimes if somebody gives a large amount of money, they're automatically viewed as a leader. Wow, look what they did. I don't know about you, but what I read in the Bible is they already got their reward. I'm moving on. But I'm just telling you, it's always about others. And that's why Barnabas gave sacrificially, because it was about others. Next, Barnabas saw the good in others. And more specifically, I want you to hear this now. He saw the good that God was doing in others. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 27. And before we read it, I just want to mention to you that whenever it's talking about Saul here in the book of Acts, it's the same man who later changes his name to Paul. So we're talking about the Apostle Paul. But it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Saul has been persecuting Christians and having them thrown into prison, but he has this life-changing experience with the Lord, and he becomes a believer, but the disciples didn't buy it. I mean, they thought it was some kind of a trick, like he's a Pharisee spy coming in or something, that there's no way that this is real and that this is sincere. And, they just considered him to be a Christian hater. I mean, this guy stood by, he gave consent to them stoning Stephen to death. And here he is, he's going to come and preach to us now. Now, we all know who this guy is, the Apostle Paul. But can you imagine what it was like for them? Bring in somebody to be this horrible person, and all of a sudden, what? He got saved, and now he's going to preach to us. Barnabas saw in others what God was doing in them. He was able to see the potential. We serve a God who can do absolutely anything. unlimited potential to what God can do. And that means that there's unlimited potential what God can do in somebody else's life. Don't be putting any limits on God. See, we might have a low view of some people, but we need to remember who our God is, that He can absolutely do anything. And the good thing that He began in you, Paul says in Philippians 1:6, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, see, if we're going to lead, we need to learn to see the good that God is doing in others. But Barnabas, he comes alongside Paul and he's his advocate. He vouches for him. He stands by him. He becomes his mentor. And you know, we don't really know if Barnabas had been with him when he was in Damascus and he preached there, if he just heard about it. But what we do know is that he stood up for Saul, and he insisted on believing the best of him, not being skeptical, but accepting him as a brother in the Lord. And, you know, what if there hadn't have been a Barnabas and the church just rejected this guy? I mean, I guess surely the Lord would have raised somebody else up to vouch for him. But you see, to see how important it was that here was this man that said, no, this guy's for real. I'm standing with this guy. See, we need to be that way with people. There are some people, you know, they say stuff like, oh, the roof would cave in if I went to church. You know what that person needs? They need somebody like you to come along and say, hey, you're my friend. You're coming to my church. And then when you bring, you know, you don't just tell them. If you tell them, at least meet them at the door. And then everywhere they go, except they go to the restroom, you say, they're with me. This is my friend. Do you know some of those people would come if they knew that somebody was going to be with them and say, this is my friend? Hey, the roof ain't going to cave in because you're with me. We're all right. But I'm just telling you that, see, we need to see the good that God wants to do in others. See that potential. It really is about others. I love that this is Grace Church. I like that name. We believe in the grace of a life-changing God, that He forgives, He restores, He renews, so that we can leave the past behind. Like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before. How many of you got a past? Well, you all do, but you know what I'm talking about, like you got a past. You know what I'm saying? Now, I got to go way back to that past I'm talking about, but I'm just saying, you got a past? Everybody's got one. Some are worse than others. But here's the thing. You see, we need to look past their past and see what God is doing in them now, what God wants to do in them. That's what Barnabas saw. He didn't see a murderer or a church persecutor or some religious Pharisee. He saw a brother in the Lord. And who knows, but maybe he saw a great man of God who was going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But he saw something that others didn't see. In our human nature, we're so quick to see the negative in others sometimes instead of seeing the good. I mean, we can find that one fault or flaw or mistake that somebody made and focus on that instead of all of the good things. And I just want you to understand, we need to learn to look past that and see what God wants to do. See the potential of what God can do in and through them. Maybe it was risky for Barnabas to stand up and vouch for this guy. I don't know. And it might be risky for you sometimes to stand up and vouch for somebody and stand with them and stand by them. But I'm just telling you that, you see, God wants to work in their life. And you talk about leadership. Listen, if we're going to lead people, we got to be willing to see what God would do in them. Now, I thought about this. If you're going to see the good that God would do in people, and, you know, you're looking at somebody that, you know, you're having a hard time seeing the good, here's how you get there to see the good that God would do. You pray for them. I mean, unless you pray a faithless prayer, like it just is what it is, that's not praying. No, you pray and you're believing God to move and work in their life, and that helps you to see what God would do. So pray for them. If you're having a hard time seeing what God would do in their life and seeing the potential in them, pray for them. You know, Barnabas was, he was following the example of Jesus. Jesus, who was accused of being the friend of sinners. Jesus, who reached tax collectors and prostitutes. It's amazing. So it wasn't that far of a reach for Barnabas to be able to believe that this guy's life was changed. You know, Jesus, who saw Simon the reed and called him Peter the rock. Yeah. See, we got to see the potential in other people. See that God is working them. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17 in the NIV says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." See, we don't just look at people in the natural, but we see, listen, if they're born again, they're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, how we need to get that let people move past their past. Help them move past their past. Now, in Acts chapter 11, it tells us that a lot of people got saved in Antioch, and so much so that the church sent Barnabas to check it out. He is ready to go, but I want to read verses 22 through 24 of Acts chapter 11. "Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came, and he had seen the grace of God." Did you get that? "He came and he saw the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. A great many people were added to the Lord." Now, earlier, we read that Barnabas was a Levite. He was a conservative Jewish man. And he could have been real critical of these people at Antioch. You know, the music's too loud, and those young people, they dress weird and act weird. And you can always find something to be critical about. You can always find something not to like. You know, they must be watering down the message. You know what he saw? He saw the grace of God. He saw the favor of God on those people, that God was moving and working in their midst, and he was glad. See, when you can see the potential, when you can see the good that God is doing and that God wants to do in people, it'll make you glad. Now, if all you see is the past and the problems and all of the yuck, nobody wants to follow a leader with a scowl on their face. You got to get past that past. If you want to lead, see the good that God would do in others. It's all about others. Notice in verse 23, it said he was glad and encouraged them. Barnabas encouraged others. It's all about others. He encouraged others. We read in Acts chapter 4 that his name was actually Joseph, but the apostles named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Why'd they name him that? Because to them, names actually meant something, and this is who this guy was. He was an encourager. He put courage into other people. Now, you know, good things are happening in Antioch, and the news gets back to Jerusalem, and, you know, they're going to send somebody to go check it out. Who are they going to send? Mr. Encourager. Mr. Encouragement. Let's send him. You don't want to send Mr. Discouragement. I mean, there was a church there. We heard some good things going on, but it's gone now. What happened? Well, we sent Mr. Discouragement down there. He went down there and told them everything they were doing wrong. No. He went and he encouraged them. He encouraged them in the Lord. I think sometimes we want to help somebody, and so we tell them everything they're doing wrong. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, when you see somebody heading the wrong way, yeah, sometimes in love you got to speak the truth. You got to try to help them, you know, not to make some stupid mistake. Yeah. But so much of the time, it seems like we try to help people by criticizing them. And what works so much better is to encourage people. Pastor Harold Nichols pastored this church for 50 years, and he and his wife Lou are the only ones that got their name up anywhere. We honor them with the plaque out there that they pastored this church 50 years. But Pastor Nichols was a great encourager. I worked for him for 10 years, from 82 to 92. That's a long time ago, right? And he seldom ever told me anything I was doing wrong. But the only time I can think of was when somebody else was mad at something I did and he told me. But he just didn't tell you what you're doing wrong. That was a seldom thing that he would ever do that. Instead, he would just encourage you and tell you what you're doing right all the time. And let me tell you how this was. He became the pastor to many great men of God. They called him their pastor. They would say, "My pastor is Harold Nichols." He was a leader to leaders. You know why? Because he encouraged those men. He lifted them up. I'm just telling you, if you want to lead people, you need to encourage people. Nobody likes to be around somebody that criticizes them all the time. And it's real hard to lead people that don't want to be around you. And that doesn't matter if it's your kids or a friend at work or anybody else. I'm not just real good at it. I'm not just real likable sometimes. I know it. It's my redeeming quality is that I'm self-aware. But when I was a youth pastor, I realized that there were some kids that just couldn't stand me. I mean, they came to me crying one day and said, "We don't know why we hate you." I was like, "I don't know either." But here's what I realized. It didn't matter how good I preached to them. If they didn't like me, it wasn't going to be fruitful. And I'm just telling you, you see, we can't be critical and like make people feel like we're down on them all the time. They don't want to be around that, and you're not going to lead them. No, we got to encourage them, lift them up. And I'm not talking about that you're approving of when they do wrong. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But you look for the good. You find something to encourage. You can even encourage them about doing right. You're letting your kids out at the school and you say, "You're the light of the world." Yeah, you just build them up. You just encourage them. That's what they need. Encourage others. I really see that in the life of Barnabas. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another daily." See, we all need it. Barnabas, he encouraged those Christians at Antioch. And here's the result. Acts 11:24, a great many people were added to the Lord. It just kept going. See, when you see the potential in others and you encourage them, that gives you an opportunity for great influence, and that influence translates into real leadership. You know, I never thought of the Apostle Paul as somebody that needed a pat on the back. I mean, he just seems like one of those guys that could just go and go and go. No matter what anybody did to him, he'd just keep going and going and going. But I do see this, though, that in the beginning of his ministry, he needed somebody to stand with him and to encourage him and help mentor him in the beginning. And Barnabas was that guy. You see, you just don't know who you might be influencing, encouraging, and who that person might become, the potential that's there. But it's all about others. Next, Barnabas developed others. That should be what leadership is all about. We're trying to help people develop into who God wants them to be. Andrew Carnegie said, "No man can become rich without himself enriching others." And he lived that philosophy. It was evidenced by the fact that he had 43 million millionaires that were working for him. A reporter interviewing him asked Mr. Carnegie how he was able to develop these men to become so valuable and how he was able to pay them so much that they became millionaires. And he said, "You develop people in the same way you mine for gold. You mine for gold. You must literally move tons of dirt to find a single ounce of gold. However, you don't look for dirt, you look for gold." I mean, some people, you're going to see a lot of dirt. Look for the gold. Encourage them. You know, in our generation, we call this mentoring. You develop people, but Barnabas did it really well. Acts 11, 25 and 26, Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. So here he is at Antioch. They're having this great time of ministry. The Lord is adding lots of people to the church. And he leaves. Why? He's going to get Saul, going to get Paul. He wants Paul to be part of this. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. He goes and he finds Saul and brings him there to mentor him. He just keeps this guy heading in the right direction. For a whole year, they ministered there together at Antioch. And Barnabas and Paul, they become this missionary team. They go out together. In Acts chapter 13, they're out at it again. They're just, you know, chapter 12, they're out in ministry. Chapter 13, they're out in ministry. Everywhere they go, it's Barnabas and Saul. Are you hearing me? Barnabas and Saul. It says Barnabas and Saul and Barnabas and Saul. And then in chapter 13, at one point, when the Lord really used Saul, he became known as Paul. And from that point on, when the scripture talks about this team, it's no longer Barnabas and Saul. Now it's Paul and Barnabas. But who was developing who? Who mentored who? And here's the thing. I don't think that Barnabas was the least bit concerned about who got first billing. I think, if anything, he was thrilled at how this Saul turned Paul was becoming this great apostle and how mightily God was using him. It was an amazing thing. Barnabas knew it was all about others. His passion was about the kingdom and what God wanted to do. You know, in that early church, they desperately needed leaders. And Barnabas was somebody that God used to help develop those leaders. And Saul turned Paul, but also in a young man named Mark. Another example of Barnabas seeing the good in others and helping them develop. We're going to read Acts 15, 36 through 41. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. You can tell me how to say that later, it'll be fine. And had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp, they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Barnabas wanted to take along this young guy named John Mark, and Paul didn't want to because he had bailed on him at one point. And so he's like, "No, I don't want that guy. We can't trust him to stick it out, to make it through." But who's this Barnabas guy? You see, he sees what God is doing in others. And he's an encourager. And he's helping to develop this young man. By the way, who is this young man? Well, history tells us that he is the same Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Do you think this guy was important in the purposes of God? I do. And who was the one that took this guy under wing when the Apostle Paul was ready to throw him aside? Barnabas. Can you be that guy? The one that nobody else sees the potential in, that others might throw aside, but you take them under wing? Oh, how we need that. See, Barnabas had some great leadership qualities. He might not have been, you know, the big shot like the Apostle Paul, but wow, did he ever make a difference? He's so passionate about helping these others develop and be who they're supposed to be. Later, the Apostle Paul changed his mind about young John Mark. That's evidenced in 2 Timothy 4:11. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." That's cool. But I want to tell you, I don't think that that would have happened if Barnabas hadn't stuck with him. If he hadn't encouraged him, I don't think that Paul would have ever asked for him later. But now he considers him to be valuable in the ministry. Every Christian knows of the Apostle Paul. Every Christian surely knows of the writer of the gospel, Mark. But so many don't even know who Barnabas is. And maybe people won't know my name or know your name, but that's not what's important. Our name is known in heaven, by the way. But what's important is that we fulfill the call of God on our lives to make a difference in the lives of others. So it's all about others. Leadership really is all about others. So we help others and we encourage others. See, and you know, we see the good in others and we help them develop into who God wants them to be. So many see leadership as being about the leader, their personality, their power, their position. But in the kingdom, you can't lead anybody until you understand that it's about others. And Barnabas got that. He was an enabler. See, we just use that as a derogatory term now. Oh, you're an enabler. Oh, he was an enabler. He enabled people to develop into who God wanted them to be and how God wanted to use them. I want to be that kind of enabler. How about you? Amen. So with your kids, your co-workers, your friends, your neighbors, whoever God brings across your path that you might be able to influence and lead in some way, use these principles, and I want to tell you it'll make a difference. Stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed.